fortunes and freedom are not bound up in the present struggle.
This Remembrance Day, CITR presents At Home and Overseas. More than two dozen Vancouver actors recreate the personal stories of those who experienced firsthand what life was like in Canada during the Second World War. Wednesday, November 11th, from 6:30 to 8 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Or look for the podcast at citr.ca.
We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line. Have you any dirt?
But What If I'm Right, the debut album by Revered, releases on November 4th, along with the spectacle of a show at the Fox Cabaret. Come celebrate composer and frontman Emmett Hall's musical indulgence into a pseudo-new wave prog rock catharsis of ego, an effigy to be truly revered. Doors at 7:30, tickets are $5. Visit revered.bandcamp.com for more.
Every day I know, everything will go the length I'm willing to admit.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bike Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Oh, to me, ragging is taking the currency. You love her, you give her your card. I'm in your garage. She told me she giving me all. You kissing that, bro? I've been out of money, out of cash, for the ball, got a whole lot of cash. Money on the table, got money on the phone, got money in the bank. Why you mad? Why you mad? Why you mad? Why you mad?
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Screen Girls On Air on 101.9 FM, broadcasted live from Vancouver. I'm Christina.
And I'm Sarah, and you just heard Why You Mad by Rich Kid. That was the Maximus, MMC, and Tails remix. And before that, we had a classic, Touch My Body by Mariah Carey, the Cyril Hahn remix.
So ahead on that, if there's a camera in here, it's going to leave when I do.
It's totally the theme of our show today, hey?
It's not going up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Best not be going up on YouTube, she was says so, Mariah.
Yeah, she was so ahead of her time with that whole social media. That's like, that song's what, over 10 years old now?
Yep.
YouTube's about, yeah, over 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. And Cyril just, like, totally reworked that. That is a remix. He flipped that on its head. Same thing with Losing You by Solange. He's dope.
So it's good to be back in the studio after a couple weeks. We've been so busy over the last couple weeks. Ever since Nordstrom opened in Vancouver, they've been holding events every single week. And they've been bringing down some amazing designers lately.
Right from the jump. Louise Etsy, Prabal Gurung, Ivanka Trump.
David Neville and Marcus Wainwright of Rag & Bone. And today they actually celebrated the opening of Space, which will feature designers including Anita Coe.
And Anna Sheffield and Roxanda.
And Anna Sheffield will be in Vancouver at Nordstrom's this Saturday to help welcome her line to Space.
And Space, I'm excited to see it.
Nordstrom's, their events are so good. They throw amazing parties. So the Rag & Bone event that we went to last Thursday, packed. It was packed. There was a really good turnout.
Champagne was flowing.
People all night coming and going.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Really good orders.
We figured out a system
to get the orders.
Yes.
Well, Sarah's vegetarian, and I'm not. So she was picking up the beef. And I'm like, Sarah, that's beef. And she's like, you said you liked it. And so, yeah. Very happy with
that. Yes, but it was really good. The turnout, everyone was having a really good time, and it was nice to see David and Marcus seem to be really enjoying the evening as well.
They really interacted, walked around with the crowd. At some of these events, Ivanka Trump, it was very meet and greet style. So you kind of queued up, you took a photo with her, shook her hand, said hello. Whereas with Prabal Gurung, he walked around. He wasn't just sort of standing there. There wasn't a photo booth set up. You didn't get a printed photo once you met him. But with David and Marcus, for the beginning portion, you could get your photo taken with them. You would get a printout. But then it was nice because later in the evening, they were walking around, enjoying the performance.
There was a surprise performance. Tobias Gesso Jr. was the surprise musical act. And David definitely seemed to be enjoying him. He's got a beautiful, beautiful voice. And pop culture and Rag & Bone sort of go hand in hand. They've been known to cast a lot of actors and actresses rather than models in their campaigns.
Yeah, the brand really has a big interest and love for film. So some of their campaigns have included Wayona Ryder, Emile Hirsch.
And I think the brand itself can just be described as very contemporary, edgy, fresh.
Yeah, definitely. They have a really strong love for denim. Their denim is amazing. That's kind of what they're really well known for.
And we've been talking about good kitschy versus just tacky kitschy, and I think that the penny loafers were so cute.
Yeah, so Rag & Bone added footwear recently, and they have the cutest penny loafers. They were these loafers, and kind of hidden between the folds was a little old penny. And I picked it up and I said to Sarah, "It's a penny loafer." So
we had a good laugh. It's so adorable. But it's done so well.
It's very sophisticated. It's not cheesy.
No.
They're an English brand, so I feel like they get that sort of sophisticated, vibe a little stronger. It's not kitschy. It's
very like utilitarian. It's good. So we got to catch up with David while he was at the event, and we didn't even want to talk to him for a second because he was just really enjoying Tobias Gesso Jr.
He was really enjoying
him.
He
was really into it.
It was so good to see like one artist appreciate another.
Yes. But
we got to talk to him.
We spoke with him, and we spoke about, because they won recently in the Milan Fashion Film Festival.
They, for their spring-summer 2015 campaign, they had a fashion film called The Driver. And yeah, at Milan Fashion Film Festival, it won Best Production.
That's huge. Fashion film, I know, is one of our greatest interests, merging fashion and film and cinematography and narrative all together. It usually makes for a really beautiful result. So I love that they've really taken an initiative.
So we got to talk to him a little bit about, you know, why this is something that's important to them. And he just explained that it's always been an expression of their brand, and that they're always looking for new ways to do things and use young actresses with personalities that just look great in the clothes.
And he mentioned to us Léa Seydoux, and when he used her, she's a French actress, she was relatively unknown, and she was a Bond girl recently. So they're kind of picking out talent, and they're picking out people with great personalities who also look beautiful in the clothes and really represent the look. And we asked him what it's like designing as part of a duo, because that's obviously interesting to us.
Said it's great, they get to divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
That's how he said it. And Tobias Gesso Jr., it was awesome to see him.
It was such a good event. So you got the fashion, you got the music, you got the food, you got the drink. It was a really good event. But yeah, Tobias Gesso Jr. was the surprise musical guest. He's from North Vancouver. And his debut album, Goon, was released earlier this year in March.
And Adele and Alana Haim from the band Haim both have tweeted about him. And there's been a buzz. It was nice to put a face to the name. And he was 27, he's 30 now, but he was a bassist and a guitarist, and he didn't actually start playing the piano until he was 27.
Yeah, so he's only been playing, he's 30 years old yeah. right now, but yeah, he only started playing the piano when he was 27, so, and that's when we saw him, his whole, all his new music now is all written by him on the piano, so it's kind of interesting to see he started out as more of a guitarist, and he's made that transition. And he just has such an ease and confidence when he plays. It's really nice to see him live.
And we got a nice surprise when we heard that he is confirmed to have some tracks on the new Adele album. He's co-written them.
One of the few people to have a track on the new Adele album.
And keep in mind, she booted Phil Collins out of there. He collabed with her and they weren't vibing.
Everyone's been waiting for this album for so long. Her album is called 25. And we read a really great article, interview, profile piece.
In Rolling Stone.
Yeah, it was called Adele Inside Her Private Life and Triumphant Return. So it was a really good article. It talked about motherhood, her comeback to music, and about her album 25.
It was written by Brian Hiatt. And one of our favorite parts of the interview was when she talks about being famous. And it was interesting because she is someone who's quite reclusive.
She says that people think I hate being famous, and I don't. I'm really frightened of it. I think it's really toxic, and I think it's really easy to get dragged into it. And so it's really refreshing to hear someone talk about how fame can be this sort of toxic monster. Because right now we seem to be in this, living in this society and culture of just being completely fame obsessed.
Definitely.
And it's not always a good thing. And so it's nice. Yeah, it's nice that she's saying it. She's nice that, and fame, that this concept and idea of fame is just really getting out of hand. Mm-hmm. It's creeped over to social media. There's now such thing as social media stars, Instagram. You can be Instagram famous. There's DigiTours. And that's where your favorite YouTube stars will go on tour, and people will pay and see
them
perform.
The concept of a digitour is insane.
Or speak.
To me.
What do? They speak at their digitours.
But it's like the way that there was the pandemonium over the Beatles, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, One Direction. It's that level of pandemonium. When some of these teenage YouTube stars hit the stage, it's like thousands and thousands of screaming fans.
And now they're saying some of these YouTube stars are actually earning more per show or performance than some of like the biggest names in music today. And they're selling out the same venues as some of these music stars. And it's just really interesting to see how fame is not just reserved for, you know, the music industry or the film industry. It's now for social media. It's not even just reality TV. We're just talking Instagram in some cases. And it seems there's a bit of a backlash coming, but Andy Warhol did predict this whole 15 minutes of fame concept that we're currently living in.
Insta-famous is a new reality, and I used to think that Instagram was like the great equalizer, where it, you know, a celebrity wouldn't necessarily have more influence, but now I'm just thinking, like, there are people that just sell fit tea. They promote like teas and teeth whiteners and this and that, and they have tons of followers, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands. But people that are doing things in real life, like photographers who are shooting these models, you know, they don't even come close. So there really is no sense of,
I mean, you can look at an Instagram model or social media star. You can look at one of their accounts, and they'll be in the millions. You know, you could look at a makeup guru. It's not uncommon to see makeup gurus with hundreds of thousands of followers. And then you look at, you know, maybe an artist in New York. Bon Duke comes to mind. He's created amazing fashion films. He photographed Kendall Jenner for the New York Times earlier this year. And you would think his account would be, you know, 20,000, 30,000 followers, and it's
he should
closer
have 50
to,
million.
It's closer like to like 5,000. 6,000, something like that. So, but it's interesting that people are thinking these numbers equate to something. And recently an Australian model spoke out about that sort of thing, and that's something we're going to be getting into later in the show.
And Andy Warhol, to take it back to one of our favorite guys, he predicted this.
Yeah, he said in the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes. But then it's kind of funny because that quote is so associated with him. But apparently, it was a photographer, Nat Finkelstein. Finkelstein?
Steen, I think.
Nat Stein? Finkelstein.
Yeah.
But he claims credit for the expression.
So he was photographing Warhol, and Warhol said everyone wanted to be famous.
He was photographing Warhol in, it was like 1966, it was for a proposed book idea, and this whole crowd gathered around, and Andy Warhol said, everyone's trying to get famous, as they were trying to get into the shot. And then apparently Finkelstein responded, yeah, for about 15 minutes, Andy. So, I mean, it sounds like they both kind of came up with the whole notion of it, but he's trying to claim credit, so maybe he's just trying to get his 15 minutes. But we are in an age and a culture of fame, obsessed.
And I feel like I didn't truly comprehend all the complexities of it until this model came out. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But right now, we're going to get into some Tobias Gesso Jr. Here he is with How Could You, Babe?
Right. Then I find out you're born. flip like a lighter split with this. And don't slip on the fucking dope track, jump back. Strapped with the back of the sack in a 7-8 black, go clean. Gangsterine, I got green, but I served up like it ain't no thing. I hang with OG players, don't send trips, bro. You might get what we call a rat pack. I don't slack when you come to street. I keep the real G fuck to a gangster beat. It's so sweet when you got money to spend. I gotta rob a big tooth and a 5-8 I make ends. Flip my dough on more phone. That's how it is, and that's how it goes. Act like you know when I think real slow. Give a love to the players that I know it's real day. I'm on fools with a quickness, and they got no cure for this sickness. I get paid from the way that I kick this, like a G-star, an old G-star. A real player ain't easy, and I live my life pretty crazy. I don't need no fools paying me, and more rookies and who can outplays me. I take two steps back and release myself. Got the man go on the record show. I know I'm wrong, but I tell it like it's straight up is. Before you do a record, why not handle your business? And don't get caught flipping on the under, or you might wonder what's up on the beach. I call a spade and get paid. G showed the way, so I get back to him. Can't be a dime, I'm straight up hard. I mean, fall to the side, but I need to be. So you can hear my record working on the cobble street. I know GB, I come here, no G and no G. I'm fucked up, so quick to run the quick. To the dark, don't let me work. Nobody move, nobody get hurt. That's how it is when it comes to me. Cause I'm just short but wicked. Playing ain't easy, women can't play me. Some say I'm crazy, but I don't think so. Come if you're local, I give some damn about a scandalous trip. Let me hit it one time, the trip that's it, but don't trip. Gets my dope to no phone. That's how it is, I got no love for ya.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Screen Girls on Air on 101.9 FM, broadcasted live from Vancouver. I'm Christina.
And I'm Sarah, and you just heard the Larry Lux remix of Eazy-E's Love for Them Gangstas. And just before we played that song and Tobias Gesso Jr., we were talking about
Asena O'Neill.
Asena O'Neill, thank you.
She's an Instagram famous teenager and Australian model, and she recently caused a really big reaction on the internet when she revealed the truth behind some of her most liked photos. So basically, she had an Instagram account, and it had reached up to over 888,000 followers before she deleted it and declared that she was quitting social media. So basically, her whole Instagram account was just full of bikini pictures and brunches and jogs by the ocean. And it all looked very like, glamorous and definitely something you know, the average person would envy. It was all, every photo was just beautiful and showed a girl living sort of the life of luxury.
Youthful, beautiful, blonde, thin. You know, just sort of the ideal image that we're all told is like the perfect thing.
And so, yeah, it's no surprise. Every photo just racked up a ton of likes, a ton of comments, and garnered a ton of followers. She was getting paid and endorsed by different brands. But she, before quitting Instagram, recently went back and rewrote a lot of the captions to explain the truth behind some of her most liked photos.
So a few of her photos were bikini photos, you know, her flat stomach, prominent. And so she said, for one of the rewritten captions, a 15-year-old girl that calorie restricts and excessively exercises is not goals. Anyone addicted to social media fame like I once was is not in a conscious state. And there's another one where she's drinking like a pineapple juice and she's wearing this striped dress and she looks really happy. And she said, was paid $400 to post a dress. That's when I had maybe 150,000 followers. With 500,000 followers, I know of many online brands that pay up to $2,000 per post. Nothing is wrong with accepting brand deals. I just think it should be known. This photo had no substance. It was not of ethical manufacturing. Social media is not real, is my point. Be aware what people promote. Ask yourself, what's their intention behind the photo? And she had another one where it was a bikini photo and it was her running along the beach. And she said, this is what I like to call a perfectly contrived candid shot. Nothing is candid about this. Yes, I was going for a morning jog, but I felt the desire to pose with my thighs just apart. Hashtag thigh gap. Boobs pushed up. Hashtag VS double padding. And face away because obviously my body is my most likable asset. Like this photo for my efforts to convince you that I'm really, really hot. Hashtag celebrity construct.
And so now since deleting her account, she's deleted, I think, both her YouTube and her Instagram. And she's
her Tumblr as
her
well.
Tumblr. She's talked about in different interviews that what she dislikes most about social media and what she called her addiction to social media was how it was based on numbers and likes. And so she was on Instagram from age 12 to 16, and she said she spent endless hours just scrolling and scrolling, and she started to begin to feel like a lot of her self-validation and self-worth came from those likes and those numbers. And that's something, you know, different artists have. I think iHeart, a graffiti artist from Vancouver, he, one of his most famous pieces is based on that. You know, it shows a kid with, you know, his social media app and no likes on his photo. So it's a notion that a lot of different artists have explored, but having someone in the thick of it come out and say, this is all bullshit. It's all fake. It's all socially constructed. We took 100 photos to get that. I wasn't happy. I hated it, and I was paid, and I didn't even go for a jog that day. It's really refreshing to see someone speak so candidly and openly about sort of the pitfalls of this social media fame.
It was so sad to see some of the photos. She mentioned she's 19 now, and she mentioned that she started feeling like this when she was 12, and even when she was 12 years old, she wanted to be Facebook famous. And then it moved to Instagram, and now it's become a viable commercial endeavor for her. So it's that thing about the line between personal and professional. And some of her photos were just so sad, like, you know, I yelled at my sister for half an hour until I got the perfect light with the perfect angle. It sounds like a prison. But she committed social media suicide, essentially.
Right. What she's doing now is putting out videos. She's put out 4 videos now that have a very different feel. She's put them out on Vimeo. So a very sort of different community and feel. So she hasn't necessarily quit all social media together. It's what she wants to see a change in is she doesn't want to see the social media apps that revolve around numbers and likes. So I see where Vimeo isn't so much about that. It's more just sharing beautiful art. But what she's doing now is vlogging on Vimeo, which is a little interesting there. But no makeup, no skin tight clothes, no bikini shots.
No filters.
It's very raw. She's letting her acne show through. She's letting her, you know, teenage self be in all of its essence. And so she's saying, what she wants to do now is create a platform to spread new age messages of conscious living, minimize celebrity culture, promote veganism, plant-based nutrition, environmental awareness, social issues, gender equality. It goes on and on. But a few of them I really love. The minimizing celebrity culture I think is really amazing. And I do think today's youth is really coming into this notion of this new age conscious living. It is getting borderline trendy.
Definitely.
And we talked to
journalist and social media writer Olsi Sorokina, and she works primarily online, so she's around this stuff all the time. And so we just had to get her on the phone. She lives in Toronto. And we asked her what she does in her own personal life to kind of evade this.
Well, for me, I make a really big point about separating my personal and professional social media presence. So, for example, I choose my social media channels that I use professionally very carefully versus social media channels that I use personally. So, you know, for example, my Twitter and my LinkedIn are my primary professional channels. First of all, because, you know, in the sort of journalism and new media industry, those are the ones that are kind of the dominant channels anyway. And the other thing is that there's been a lot of kind of research going on about how being online all the time for professional reasons is affecting people. And a term I find really interesting is this technology researcher coined this term. It's called presence bleed. And essentially what it is that, and they used it in relation to fashion bloggers, but I think that it kind of, it affects anybody who either puts their work online or has a personal brand that they develop through Twitter or Instagram or whatever their platform of choice is. And essentially it is when you're, you know, sort of interacting in everyday life or you're going to events or you're seeing friends, you're kind of framing your interaction in a way that would be best displayed on social media, in the same way as if you're on social media and you're thinking about how to put your like daily events into social media terms, whether it's, you know, making it fit into the 140 character limit on Twitter or like kind of, you know, to frame it better on Instagram. So this sort of presence bleed is, you know, affecting these fashion bloggers in particular in this study, where they can no longer distinguish what they're doing in their everyday life because they want to do this, because this is something they enjoy, or they're doing it for the Instagram picture, basically. And I think that that's something that I find, even with myself, even though, you know, my personal work, my work doesn't really necessarily revolve around social media itself. Like, I would write a lot of tips on social media marketing, but I wouldn't necessarily have to use those tips. But if I did, I feel like this would be the exact kind of problem that I would run into.
We went to a party earlier this summer, touted as like a super kind of private party, and we got there and it was a very like catered for Instagram sort of party. And so it felt like the entire time you were there, you were like encouraged to keep taking and posting photos. And sure enough, anyone that posted a photo during the event was like rewarded at the end, where they had printed out all the photos and put them on balloons and like handed them out. And it's just like this really weird fake sense of like fun. And I feel like people that maybe weren't invited to the party, didn't go to the party, from the photos, you would have completely thought it was like just this like amazing event. But in reality, it was like a bunch of people just taking photos. And I just think,
mm-hmm.
So in the case of this young girl, Asena O'Neill, who's just been everywhere in the media the last few days with talking about this and talking about the dangers of social media, do you think that this is going to give way to a larger global dialogue, or do you think this will be kind of a trend?
I'm not sure if it hasn't already become a trend. I think that part of the reason why she's doing it, and I mean, there might be very sincere intentions at play here, but I think that anyone who has already had some experience marketing themselves knows that, you know, a lot of the times, and you might not even know that consciously, but you know that certain actions of yours will have a sort of ripple effect, and maybe she didn't anticipate it to be that global. But I think that part of the reason why it's in the media everywhere is because everyone can relate to how much social media and being on social media and crafting your social media posts can take over your life, and it can suck you in, and that's kind of, and you don't even realize that, you know, this is something that's kind of like, this is something that is maybe detrimental to the rest of, to your enjoyment of the rest of your life. So in a lot of ways, I think that, yeah, I think that maybe more people will try it out. And I think that, you know, practices such as like social media detox, or, you know, turning off your accounts, or, you know, going on a temporary social media blackout, or, you know, leaving your phone behind and then going off to the woods. Like, this is something that, you know, especially in British Columbia, where you are surrounded by really beautiful things, or I would imagine anywhere really, Australia, anywhere with
not
like a
Australia.
Nice, yeah, like anywhere with a sea, with the ocean. I don't know. No, but yeah, like any. I think anywhere else you would like you can do this, right? But then I think the question becomes how long can you keep it up if your only motivation is like I need to stop this. Because there's a bigger issue at hand, and that is like what are we missing in our everyday interaction that social media is kind of, you know, filling that empty space.
We really, really appreciate you taking the time with the time difference and all to speak to us today.
No problem.
Okay,
it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. We'll catch up with you soon.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Screen Girls on Air on 101.9 FM, broadcasted live from Vancouver. I'm Christina.
And I'm Sarah, and we're broadcasted live from unceded Musqueam territory, and we are so excited about that. So you just heard Royce Burth with Art on Fire, and he released his album Art on Fire on October 20th, and we are going to have him on the show next week, so look out for that, and we'll be sure to play some more music. And before that, you heard Awe by New York-based artist Mizan. And we're going to get into some events quickly. There's a lot going on. Tomorrow night, there will be a new exhibition at the New Media Gallery at the Anvil Center in New Westminster called Scary. You can check that out. That starts at 7 and it goes on till 10. And then on Friday is Fuse Transform. It's going to be a really good show. Fuse always is. It's the last one of the year. Tickets are $20. The event goes from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. There's an open bar, and you get to just walk around, look at all the exhibits. It's definitely worth checking out. And also, tomorrow there will be an Alexander Wang event at Nordstrom's. And it's probably going to be another party, and our party strategies will definitely be in effect.
Sarah will be swiping the beef hors d'oeuvres, even though she's vegetarian.
Yes.
That's what a good friend is all about.
Yes. Speaking of good friends,
good friend Duckworth just put out his music video for Psycho. It came out earlier this week, and Psycho is off Duckworth's latest project with the Kick Drums. It's available on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play.
Nowhere. Now here.
It's now here. So you can go to You Are Nowhere to watch that video. It's amazing. I loved it. The lead female in the video is really beautiful.
She's so powerful.
Riley Stith is her name. So definitely give it a watch, if not for Duckworth, then for Riley Stith.
It's so good, and I love to see the dynamics in it. I feel like there's a moment where the dynamics completely flip, and you're just like, what the hell is going on? It's so good. It's so perfect for the song.
It's so well directed. The emotion in it is amazing.
Duckworth's style, always on point, unique.
Beautiful and colorful.
Yes.
So gorgeous. It's just a really well-shot, well-done, well-produced video to go with a really amazing audio project. So he's also going on tour in December.
And unfortunately, some of the blogs are not picking up the video due to what? Violence?
Yeah, there's use of weapons in the video. So that's why the video wasn't featured on that many music sites, which just seems absolutely ridiculous. It feels like absolute censorship, and it's 2015. I don't know what's going on with that.
And if you just take 2 seconds to look into Duckworth, you'll see that he's an activist.
He's not promoting gun violence, gun culture, anything like that. It's art, and it's being censored, and it's so frustrating. But, I mean, if anyone can handle it in good stride, it's Duckworth.
Very positive, dude. So definitely let's all keep checking that out, get that view count up. And yeah, you mentioned he's going on tour.
Yeah, so if you want unreleased Duckworth and Nowhere gear, you can hit up his Kickstarter at youarenowhere.com to help support that tour that's taking place this December.
And we've been playing Psycho pretty much nonstop since it came out. So we're going to end our show off with it once again. And thank you so much for listening to The Night Show. I think it's officially our favorite night of the week on a Wednesday. McConan got it all wrong. It's the Wednesday that's the turn up, hump day turn up. So you can check us out at The Screen Girls on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Vine, Snapchat, and you can check out CITR at CITR on Twitter, and you can like them on Facebook at Facebook/CITR101.9. Be sure to hit up the site, www.thescreengirls.com, for today's show with playlists and video. And we've got Jazz Cartier coming up very soon. We're really excited to share that with you. So we're going to leave you now with Psycho by Duckworth and the Kick Drums.
Simply wonderful. Next minute you're complicated. Your candy sugar coated wrath. Fuck the psychopath. You're simply wonderful. Next minute you're complicated. Your candy sugar coated wrath. Fuck the psychopath. Why in the fuck are you mad? What? Remember the fun that we had? Yeah. That was like minutes ago. And why is that gun in your bag? Gun. Why do you reach in your bag? You should just think for a minute. Girl, you more heated than skillet. And girl, I do feel it. But shooting and killing, don't bring what you missing. It's probably Jesus. I pray that you listen. Don't bang out, bang out. All I wanna do is hang out, hang out. You wanna see me with my brains out, brains out. What I'm saying now, space out, space out. Cause I need 50 feet and 50 receipts for all the time I spent. No taming the beast. Girls call me duck when I'm with the geese. Don't call the bluff, she may see you deceased. Dear God, you're simply wonderful. Next minute you're complicated. Your candy sugar coated wrath. Fucking psychopath. But I love you. Fucking psychopath. And I hate you. Psycho killer, psycho lover. But I love you. Fucking psychopath. And I hate you. Psycho killer, psycho lover. But I love you.
Let me calm down real quick. Catch my breath. Okay. Here we go.
How in the fuck we got here? Yeah. I've seen more rain than a deer. Yeah. You can make rain in the club, what? But you can't make your skies clear. What? And you said this is your year, yeah. But you let the devil interfere, projecting every fear. You say you never care, but all I see is care. You let your ass show commando underwear that put it bigger and wider than all outdoors.
All outdoors.
In the RAV4, let me smash more in your endo.
In the RAV4,
swear you can make anything sexual in your window.
Yeah, that's real.
I was that teenager throwing rocks at your window just to get attention. And now you throwing shots hoping that I'll drop my tempo. You're simply wonderful. Next minute you're complicated. Your candy sugar coated wrath. Fucking psychopath. But I love you. Fucking psychopath. And I hate you. Psycho killer, psycho lover. But I love you. Fucking psycho. And I hate you. Psycho killer, psycho lover. But I love you.
Turn your levels. Speaking from Ottawa.
There is no home in Canada, no family, and no individual whose fortunes and freedom are not bound up in the present struggle.
This Remembrance Day, CITR presents At Home and Overseas. More than two dozen Vancouver actors recreate the personal stories of those who experienced firsthand what life was like in Canada during the Second World War. Wednesday, November 11th, from 6:30 to 8 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Or look for the podcast at citr.ca.
You're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried Line. Have you any dirty washing, mother dear? We're gonna hang up the washing on the Siegfried Line, 'cause the washing day is here. Whether the weather may be wet or wet,